Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Lakers win, everyone! It is Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from the Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the Lakers and also as well the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, we'll be covering the NFL draft next week, so go ahead and catch it there wherever you get your podcasts. Also as well, Joe Soro, he was angry as ever, even when they do win. So go ahead, as Magic Man is getting some ice from his LG refrigerator in celebratory fashion right there for you. Yes. How does that ice sound from an LG refrigerator, Joe? There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. It tastes good, I bet, Magic Man. But also, of course, go ahead and check out what they're doing today right there for you at Lakers Corner Clutch Talk from John Costa, who will not be here tonight. He has got daddy and boyfriend duty, so wanted to wish him well on that. Stone Hansen, he is always covering the NBA draft like no one else at report_court on Twitter. Thank you so much. Truly appreciate Daniel, the super chat to start off our day, because the curse is over. The Lakers in seven. Momentum shift indeed as we head back to Denver for game five on Monday night at 7 p.m. But also as well, go ahead and give our big shout out to Laker Tom. I hope he feels better now that the Lakers won tonight. So hope you're getting well, my friend. Go ahead and check out what he has to say on Twitter at Laker Tom. And of course, he and Jamie Sweet, they're together at LakerHolics.com. Plus also our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in Five, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, also as well, of course, go ahead and check out the John McCainleyan channel. Big shout out to you, my friend. All these great channels you need to support, and also the best Lakers channel that's out there. Please support us by going ahead, liking, following, subscribing, doing whatever it is that you can to go ahead and support us. We do need all the help we can get, and we certainly appreciate it from your friends right here at the latest, of course, notifications that you get from all of us at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Well, the Lakers came in with the definition of do or die coming into tonight. And would it be a situation where the Lakers would roll over and die 1-2-3 Cancun, or would they show some heart, guts, intestinal fortitude? Well, again, the Lakers found themselves in a very familiar situation as they once again climbed their way to an early lead. And what do you know? The Lakers got into a double-digit lead once again, right where Denver's saying, we've got you right where we want you, with you guys having a double-digit lead. But oh no, the Lakers, in the quarter that has been undermining them all series long in the third quarter, they played the Nuggets relatively even, which was the key to the game. The second half, they played them relatively even, only letting them score two points more. The Lakers came up with clutch plays. The Lakers actually did not look gassed, especially LeBron James, who came up with clutch play after clutch play. Today, LeBron looked like the player that you always want him to see, the player that you want him to be on both ends of the floor, giving you what he needed to give you as he scored 30 points. Six turnovers, yes, that was not good, but 30 points for the Los Angeles Lakers. 25 points and 23 rebounds, a monster rebounding game from Anthony Davis, giving the Lakers a vital 46-40 edge on the overall rebounding, and they only were one less on the offensive rebounds. The turnovers, actually, for once, the Lakers had less turnovers than the Denver Nuggets. They executed well down the stretch. And despite LeBron James getting incensed at the bench for not taking a challenge earlier in the second half, and again, incensed at several opportunities the Lakers had to play better defense, which he called out on, the Lakers did manage to still get the victory, 119-108. Again, an impressive performance. They did hold the lead this time. And here today to talk about today's game, including D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reaves matching 21-point games. Even though Austin didn't shoot well from beyond the arc, he still guided the team with 6 of 6 from the free throw line and 7 of 15, while D'Angelo was 4 of 8 from behind the arc. The Lakers do win 119-108. And here to go ahead and discuss that is a good man indeed. He is the Madman from Toronto. He did get out of Toronto traffic to join us on Playback. Big shout out to everyone on Playback, on YouTube, on Facebook that watched the scoreboard and chat with us. Big shout out to Laker Nick, who was with me. I was worried for a little bit with it that they were all going to jump ship like rats on a sinking ship on me, but they were there when it mattered the most, and it was a great game. But here today to discuss that is the Madman for Toronto, Sean Grice. And Sean, as I unmute you, as I am sure you enjoyed that beverage full of the ice from the LG refrigerator that Joe knows all too well, it certainly tastes good. It tastes better knowing that the Lakers are taking the series back to Denver for a game 5 on Monday.
Absolutely, Gerald. And a toast to a few people. One, to the Lakers, finally got a victory over the Nuggets. Two, to all you Denver trolls out there, Ghost, Paco, Taco.
Now, Denver Nuggets is in the chat, but he's being very sportsmanlike.
He's always great. Yeah, we have love for that man. I'm talking about the other ones, the impolite, uncouth,
yes,
Denver fans that troll by. So while you're soaking up this loss and you're in Denver, please enjoy that overpriced, over-pesticide government weed. And I'm sure we'll hear back from you on Monday if the result is differently. But for tonight, suck it, Denver. Suck a big Laker lemon. And a toast to Joe. He may know a lot about artificial turf, but he knows jack shit about ice and refrigerators. The LG ice is very good, Gerald. And so toast to Joe, who knows nothing about refrigerators.
That's correct. Absolutely, indeed. But once again, the Lakers do win 119-108. It's the Lakers Fast Break. If you not yet liked and subscribed, please do so to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. I want to go ahead and start off with Magic Man as you go ahead and type in your message there. Wanted to go ahead and ask you real quick in regards to your thoughts on what was different this time around. Three times the Lakers have had double-digit leads on the Denver Nuggets. Three times they failed. This is the fourth time they had a double-digit lead. This time they succeeded. Where did it go right where all the other times it went wrong, in your opinion?
Yes, Gerald. So a couple of things. One is they did relinquish that double-digit lead, but
look who shows up just there, mm-hmm, out of the woodwork. There you go.
Denver was unable to capitalize on unforced errors. That's number one. We didn't make a lot of unforced errors tonight. And Denver wasn't able to capitalize on, you know, those 13-0, 15-4, 17-2 runs. And the Lakers secondarily, Gerald, sprinkled in ISO here and there with LeBron and AD, but for the most part, they ran sets.
Yeah.
They ran actual sets and plays, and there was actually a purpose and a configuration for all five guys on the court, which was nice to see because that was able to be sustained throughout the game. They didn't get distracted by mismatch hunting. And thirdly, LeBron just seemed to play with an extra sense of desperation, like vigor, as Joe's typing in to kind of troll me there. But yes, those three things I think were the icing on the cake. Lack of ISO ball, sprinkled it in. You were able to run sets, and you didn't allow Denver to take advantage of unforced errors.
Once again, the Lakers do win 119 to 108. They are down in the series 3-1 as the series heads back for game 5. Monday night, 7 p.m. Of course, we'll cover it right here for you at the Lakers Fast Break. Also here today, he did show up after all. After he told us he wasn't going to be here. Wonder why that is. Of course, a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing. It's Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Also as well, his company that he does own, which is a legitimately good company. Not talking any smack on it because he does legitimately great work at Sinblades, sinbladeswithy.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here, despite the threats that you weren't going to be here. Great to have you here. FL24 and Blue called you out on it. You did arrive. The Lakers won. What do you attribute, as you were saying on playback, that you were very confident on that caused your confidence that the Lakers would finish this game off with a victory?
I thought that the main guys.
That's the ice from his LG refrigerator, just to let you know.
You finished? You done? Good. What was different about this game is it seemed like the team as a collective decided to start making shots besides LeBron and AD. And I know that's easy to just analyze, but seriously, like Rui hit a couple open shots that loosened some things up. D'Angelo had a good game. Wasn't extraordinary, but he had a good game compared to, obviously, his last game.
Him and Austin had 21.
Austin had his best game in the series because he was making those Austin Reeves shots in the paint. His defense on Jamal Murray, who I think is injured, folks. I think he's injured, playing through injury right now. And I don't know if it's going to get worse. Jokic kept doing what he was doing. The refs kept doing what they were doing with LeBron. Jokic was hugging LeBron on a couple of occasions. He's not getting a call called on him. So the Lakers need to get off their ass and stop spending $14 on a videotape cassette type analyzation room and get somebody to start putting some stuff together and send it to the league office. Do something, Jeannie, instead of, you know, doing what? We talked a little bit about her, but I'm not going to get into that. AD had a phenomenal game. This is his fourth straight game where he was just phenomenal.
26-22.
The big key in the game is LeBron sitting half of the third quarter, and the Lakers actually might have extended the lead a few points. I can't remember how many points, but that was huge because he came in and was getting to the basket in the fourth quarter. And usually LeBron is out of gas by the fourth against this team. It kills us now that game two went the way it went because this obviously would have tied the series. However, I'm not going to jump on the win the series horse yet. The Lakers can show a lot about who they are if they go into Denver on Monday and win that game. Because then Denver starts to press. And I'm going to be watching to see if Jamal Murray is going to be weaker and weaker as the series goes on. Jokic is going to be Jokic. Michael Porter Jr., I think Sean alluded to this, and Gerald, make him get to the basket. stop letting him shoot from the perimeter. Make him move. Make him go. This is a guy that was injured most of his career. So if you have him work a little bit harder, he might not be as effective. And I think at the end of the day, guys, the Lakers have to have everybody doing their job just like any other team that's going to win a game. And if they don't, they're going to lose. That's it. There is nothing else that's going to be magical with this team. Now, Darvin Ham got a little bit of LeBron today, which was really encouraging. I hadn't seen LeBron get that angry in a very, very long time. If I had to say something to LeBron, let the hate flow through you. Thank God Cool Bro wasn't on the telecast today because, you know, but I threw that in there for him. it's nice to see that everyone did their job as a collective, and it turned out to be something that I think was way long overdue. And I'm going to be watching to see if they can do it three more times, because if they end up coming back, let's say, and winning the series, what do we do then? What happens then? Do they blow their wad and lose in the next round, or does this set them on a path of 2004 Boston Red Sox type path? So that's it.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Check out what's going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
But watching this, like, if this could make me a fan of documentaries, it's like a gateway drug. Like, this could open the door for so many people who have not sat down and watched a documentary because it is so enthralling.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Because I think that we've hit a point with our entertainment where we're asking a little bit more than fart jokes and toilet humor.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse. Available on radio stations worldwide and wherever you get your podcasts. Before I get it to Sean, I know Robert had a question I wanted to go ahead and touch on. I'm scrolling up now. It's going to take me just a second because Robert had a question in the chat for you. Let me go ahead and look it up for you. Yep. All right, I got a lot of people going. Joe, do you think, based on how hard and focused the Lakers play as a team tonight, that they truly believe, they, not you, that they can win the series?
No, but they will if they win game five.
Because they've had double digits leads on them in every game.
Yeah. If the Lakers win game five, then Denver is going to press. They're going to start pressing. And talking about this right now is way premature. I think this talk is warranted if they win Monday.
Yeah.
If they win Monday, then we can sit and talk about scenarios, because then at that point, the momentum is back on the Lakers side, even though they'll still be down a game. But whether they believe it or not is irrelevant, folks. It's a matter of, can you play four quarters of basketball against the Denver Nuggets? Tonight, they did, for the first time in 12 games.
Magic Man, I want to bring it over to you. When it comes to what we saw tonight, the Lakers winning against Denver for the first time in almost 500 days. Let me repeat that for you. 500 days. It's actually 498 to be exact, according to Dave McManaman, but it is a win for the Lakers. I want to ask you this. Ham's quote, you know, he usually has a beauty right after the game. He says, it's a beautiful day to be alive, to stay alive. Was he talking about the Lakers or his job?
I think it was more about his job than the Lakers. That's what I think. The fact is, Gerald, okay, let's talk about Monday then. You were going to get Denver's best effort. They are going to be on a mission on Monday to put us away. They want to put the nail in the coffin. So I don't think they played a great game in the whole series yet, Gerald. They're up 3-1. They haven't played their best basketball.
No, if you've allowed the Lakers 4 double-digit leads in 4 games, you've not played a full, complete game as of yet.
So we are going to get their very, very best effort on Monday. Now, if you can, and I think this is going to happen, unfortunately, if you can come back down double digits on Monday, that's putting the icing on the cake as far as planting a seed of doubt in them, because they're going to tell themselves we played an almost perfect game and they still beat us. That's what it's going to take. It can't just be any victory, although you're down 3-1. So, I mean, I'm being a bit hyperbolic here, but the fact is you're going to get their very best effort on Monday. Nikola Jokic is going to play his best game of the year on Monday. I guarantee it. Guaranteed. So, you have to be able to withstand the run that they're going to eventually go on, because those first 10 minutes, especially in with this pressure that both teams are under, you know, we talked about it before, Gerald, pressure creates diamonds or bursts pipes. So there's only one of two ways this is going to go. The Lakers are going to be able to withstand that run that you had to turn it on, didn't you? Because it wasn't working. You had to turn it on.
I want to see if it worked.
It only worked when you turned it on. But anyway, good. That was good. Because we're going to get punched in the face on Monday, Gerald. I see it coming. So if you can, I wasn't going to go into the Star Wars or Art of War references, but it's like Rocky, right? It's like Apollo Creed's going to punch you in the face over and over again on Monday. Can you withstand it? Can you hold court, basically? And the fact is that I expect AD's been consistent throughout the whole series, Gerald, so I expect him to play well. Is LeBron going to be able to have enough juice in the fourth quarter? That's the key right now.
True. It's a good point. But the statistic Malika Andrews just put out there, Joe, the Lakers have led for 129 minutes in this series. Denver has led for almost 42. To tell you the kind of dominance as far as the Lakers have done, it's just about finishing the job. You look great for two quarters. That doesn't mean anything. You've got to finish the job, and today they did. But it just shows you how easy this series could have been 4-0 the Lakers' way. Probably 2-2, mind you, but 4-0.
They were up 12 in game one in Denver.
Yeah.
So you can say for sure 2-2. This series should be 2-2.
Yeah.
If the Lakers had LeBron in 2020, it would have been 3-1.
I said it theoretically.
Lakers should be 5-0 right now.
Yes.
There. You guys like that better?
Anyways. Yes, there you go.
Absolutely. Thank you.
When you lead 129 minutes in the series, there's a possibility, a strong one, that you could be leading 4-0 in the series.
It's like Sun Tzu said.
Oh my God. He's rolling over his grave right now.
Please don't.
Rolling over his grave right now.
Zoo! Sun Tzu, you kiss ass.
Well, Gerald, he wouldn't be rolling over in his grave. He lived about 800 years ago. He would be dust.
Yeah, that's true. His dust is rolling over in its grave.
Let's talk about specific things that happened in this game, specifically in terms of how they ran their offense.
Specificity. Speciality.
The speciality of the matter is that the Lakers kept moving. They were like Rocky in Rocky. The first one, they kept coming. They kept moving. What a surprise. Offense kept moving, kept going. Now, there was still some ill-advised shots that they took that I wish they would tighten up a little bit more. But they kept moving, and LeBron was the catalyst in it. His dives on those Russell AD pick and rolls were absolutely beautiful. And LeBron looked like 16 LeBron the way he was pogo sticking up on those plays. You know, LeBron James, when he's on and he's feeling good, my God, there's a reason why this guy wins. He's that talented. His physical ability to play basketball is just unreal. And the key point was in that third quarter when he sat and they kept the lead and extended it. They need to do that in game five. They need to do that in game six, should they play in a game six. And obviously, if they go back to Denver, Denver is going to be ass water tight if they can get it there. And I said before that winning game seven in Denver would be impossible. However, the narrative of this series, should the Lakers get there, changes because now there's history involved and you're playing against AD and LeBron, not Dikembe and McDice. Well, not McDice. McDice wasn't on that team, was he? You know, 94?
No?
I don't think so. He got drafted later.
Yeah. So anyways, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Utah went up 3-0 against Denver. Denver came back and forced a game seven. And then last year's Miami Celtics series in the Eastern Conference Finals. We saw what happened there. Anyways, so with that, the Lakers need to continue to move. Don't make those bad don't take those bad shots in this next game. Play flawless, smart basketball. Keep moving. And Austin Reeves has been guarding
Jamal Murray. It wasn't McDice. I remember it was LaPhonso Ellis.
LaPhonso Ellis, that's it. Sorry. That's what I meant. They have the same
composition. Yeah, yes.
But they I believe Jamal Murray is hurt, not injured, hurt. So that's kind of taking him a peg down a little bit so that Austin can actually compete on the defensive end against him. The other thing they got to do is let Jokic get what he can get. It is what it is. You have to make Michael Porter Jr. go to the basket. Don't let him get hot from deep. Don't let him get the ball rolling on that. And you guys play like you did tonight, and it'll be competitive.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro, Magic Man Chung Rice, and me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. It is 119-108. The Lakers win. They're down 3-1 in the series as it heads to game five in Denver on Monday. What is, again, is AD? AD is always hurt, Sarah. So that's, you know, varying levels. I know he was shaking his wrist as his latest injury, but yeah, he'll be there for game five. As I'm going to assume, like Joe said, he might be hurt. He's not injured. I'm assuming Jamal Murray will be there too, Magic Man. So your thoughts on this? What do the Lakers need to do to go ahead and change the series around with another win in game five?
Well, you can't shoot 8 of 25 from three in game five if you expect to beat Denver. I mean, they were they were a little bit off than we were, Gerald. I think they were like, what were they? 8 of 28 or 8 of 30, something like that. But they were off from 3-point land as well. Need to hit your wide open shots. I mean, I know it's cliched. It's a cliche, but it's true. You're down 3-1. You're on the road. You're going to take a punch in the face from them. Got to hit your wide open shots. And if I was – and if he's not the dummy we all kind of think he is, I think Ham will go back to the same rotations – and the same flow that he did tonight, even on the road. Now, obviously, like Joe said, it's dependent. That third quarter is huge, right? Because the Lakers extended the lead. They were up 61-48. They actually extended it to 19 before LeBron got back into the game. So if you're down less than 8-10 points, I think you can afford to rest LeBron a little bit in that third quarter again. But got to hit your wide open shots. That's one. Two is I agree with Joe. I think you need to really, really make a clear present effort to make Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, make Michael Porter Jr., make Peyton Watson put the ball on the floor and try and create, because we saw it ourselves when KCP was the Laker drilled. Danny Green improved greatly on becoming more than a 3-point shooter. KCP had trouble creating off the dribble when he put the ball on the floor and his head down, trying to create a shot for himself. He struggles at that. He's not great. And Peyton Watson isn't great either. Two, and thirdly, so Denver's two best defenders are Peyton Watson and Aaron Gordon. I would try and get one or two of those guys in foul trouble and attack them as much as possible. I mean, I would say the same thing about Joker, Gerald, but we saw what happened in game three. Joker had two fouls. We didn't attack him in any pick and roll or soft post action. We went away from it. And that's what happened. So if you can get any one of those three guys in foul trouble and sitting on the bench, it's deficient for them, because our bench is what it is, but so is theirs. Their bench is not a strength this year, Gerald. It's not. We've seen it through the four games this series. Their bench has not been able to either take a lead for them or try and reduce the deficit either by 10 or 12. It's the starters of Denver who have come back and reversed on the Lakers. It hasn't been their bench. So I would try and make a conscious effort to get one or two of those starters in foul trouble.
It's Peyton Watson, Joe. It's Peyton Watson. That's who they're talking about. Because the only thing he can do is block shots consistently.
That's it. That's all he could do.
Shooting is like, he'll hit two shots here. He'll miss five there. So, yeah. I mentioned it, Sarah. He blocks shots, but that's all he can do consistently. So
that's it.
Yeah. If he does win them the game, if he does play well, that's what you're going to bank on. You know, that's something, again, if he does play well on that, yeah. But ever since game one, he has been terrible out there shooting-wise. So you're expecting maybe the home cooking to be better for him. So you're going to have to anticipate that. But I think, again, we saw last night in the Minnesota-Phoenix game, Minnesota really guarding against the three, forcing tough 20-foot shots by Phoenix. I really think that was a key to their game and how they were victorious. If the Lakers followed that mode, Joe, as far as getting them off the three-point line, I think they can go ahead and play well again in Denver. But we'll see, my friend. Again, we will see.
Yes. If we score more points at the end of game.
The wise sage that you are.
We will win.
Okay. How do we do that, oh, wise sage? Oh, Nostradamus.
We have to hit more field goals.
Oh, that's just, so it that's so deep. Great analysis there. We really have to do. We do have an audio audience. Thank you.
What do you want me to do?
Not do that for starters.
What are you going to do about it?
I could kick you out if I wanted to.
Yeah, you can, but then, you know, the show would be kind of, you know.
It'd be me and Sean. We were doing just fine before. Yeah. But again, I'm looking for insight from you.
Sean has adapted the light of God in whatever room he's in. Is that Big Ben? Is that code for Get Out?
Yes. Great movie. But anyway. Joe, like you said, there could be a possibility of Jamal Murray being hurt.
Big Ben is a giant tower clock, right, Joe? Do you see a tower behind me?
It's all right. I've got Robert Wheeler to save us. So, guys, he put it out to all of us. Did you expect the Lakers to win tonight?
No.
And on the scale, because he already had plans.
I thought they were going to quit.
He already had plans.
I thought they were going to quit like the smynchies that they are, but they didn't.
How confident are you on a win, guys, on game five?
I'm not confident. I'll be confident after game five.
If you keep them off the offensive boards like you did tonight, I feel pretty good about your chances in the fourth quarter. Denver only had 9 offensive rebounds this whole game.
It's key here, guys. It's very, very important that the Lakers make sure that LeBron does not play over 40 minutes on Monday. This is one day off, and then they got to go play in the altitude. So if there is a game, whatever game they had tonight, they actually have to be better. That's why I'm saying don't take those ill-advised shots. Don't take the heat check shots. Play smart. Do exactly what you did tonight, but don't take those ill-advised shots. And if you guys really want to enjoy a win, Sean just said it. One thing we noticed this game that we've not noticed in how many of these games, oh, my God, the Lakers were offensive rebounding. And they weren't letting them do it. Yes. Pat Riley said it. Rebounds win championships.
Question rebounds for you, wins. Joe. Yeah. But question for you. How is it that – okay, I'm going to say Cleveland-Orlando is the same as the Lakers never. How is it that those two series are far ahead of everyone else? They're like, they're a game ahead of everyone else. They gave other teams extra days off, but they want the Lakers, Denver, and in this case, Cleveland-Orlando to play. They'll be playing a game five sooner than everyone else.
Just. I don't know. I thought the first round was supposed to be extended. I haven't felt that at all.
If two teams got a rest for 3 days and the other team plays before you, I thought they would balance each other out. You know what I'm saying? But
switching cities, I thought warranted a 2 day off.
You'd think,
but they didn't do that because probably for scheduling conflicts. I'm going to take a guess on that, but this is an advantage for the Nuggets because they get to go home and play in that atmosphere that they're used to, while the Lakers have not won there in a while. But it's going to come down to everyone pulling their weight so that LeBron can play enough in the end with all of his might. The big difference in this game was LeBron wasn't taxed in this game. And if LeBron isn't taxed and he's playing with the LeBron skills when he's not taxed, 5 minutes left in the game, 6 minutes left in the game, you're not worried as much about blowing the leads or losing in the end. And this was LeBron already frustrated too, on top of it. He was really pissed off. And I actually really liked that he was mad. And I'm glad, allegedly, he was screaming at somebody on the bench, I'm assuming Darvin Ham, that needs to happen more. It's okay when there's strife between teams sometimes. Sometimes that's good for competition. I think the Darvin Ham needs to not screw it up either, too. That's always a worry in every game, is will he screw it up?
JY says, we got to avoid Sean, Tony Brothers, and Scott Foster, game five. Yeah, us and Chris Paul. Chris Paul, if you were still playing right now, obviously avoiding Scott Foster's key. But yeah, well, Scott Foster is no help to us at all. On Tony Brothers.
Well. Yeah, Gerald. And like, oh God, this is for another time. But of all the different permutations that happened through that failed trade, people still don't realize Chris Paul was going to be on the Lakers and Scott Foster was still a referee in the NBA. So nothing is guaranteed. It looks like we might get Mark Davis, Gerald. You know, he's a fair official. He's one of the few fair officials we have in the NBA. But yeah, let's hope we don't draw Scott Foster again. But and Gerald, should be noted, the Knicks Philly series has been scheduled similarly to ours. They just started later because they're playing game four tomorrow after 2 days off. So we've got a couple keys already. Another one is that, surprisingly, Gerald, and it needs to be said, Darvin Ham outcoached Michael Malone tonight. It's only one game. It's only one game, yet he outcoached him. He was able to balance out his rotations. When he ran sets and negated the Lakers from running ISOs, only sprinkled in here and there, he was able to outcoach Michael Malone. Now, a lot of that has to do with, we had Frank the Tank on for Game 3, Gerald, and Frank made a very very salient point that the biggest thing that frustrates LeBron more than anything is stupid basketball. Now, he's prone to making stupid plays, but LeBron doesn't play stupid basketball down the stretch. Now, I think he was just frustrated with the lack of attention to detail and discipline that he expects out of his teammates. And there was an emphasis tonight. D'Lo played smarter, Gerald. Austin Reeves played his game. I mean, Rui was kind of... Rui's been kind of the disappearing act through this series, but he didn't make a lot of boneheaded plays either. It's almost as if everybody stayed in their lane. He must have gotten in everybody's ear and said, just play your basic game. Let's not play stupid down the stretch, and we'll be there. We'll be there at the end. And they didn't need the end because they led wire to wire.
That they did. But Joe, before you head on out, because you did say, and thank you, Anonymous. Appreciate you dropping for us. Truly appreciate the super chat. Thank you again. Cannot thank you enough for doing that. But Joe, I wanted to go ahead and ask you before you're heading out some final thoughts, and then make sure you let everybody know that tomorrow you're doing a special nightcap just for them.
Yes, I'm going to have a nightcap tomorrow night. It's going to be a two-hour nightcap. I was anticipating this might have been the last night for the season. Luckily, it's not, so we'll have some good information.
Thank you, Xbox. Yeah, it showed up as anonymous, but yeah, thank you, Xbox. I see it now on YouTube. Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk more about tonight's game as well as the preview of Monday's game and beyond. But looking at the role players tonight, this was the first game I saw Austin Reeves play like he was playing almost last year with his dribble penetration in the paint and drawing fouls and the and ones in the close to the basket. I thought that was a huge, huge positive for the Lakers and keeping things loose for everyone else. Torian Prince had a very, very good game. He played 29 minutes too, and he scored 9 points, but he hit some key shots in that in tonight's game. D'Angelo, I mean, if D'Angelo does what he does tonight, this team is gonna be in every game. And then Rui is due a big game. If there was a game to have a big game, now it's Monday. And it's going to play that part where the minutes distribution is going to be a key, probably the number one key in this game. If Darvin Ham and the Lakers can allow LeBron and AD to not be dead by the fourth, and it's competitive, or if the Lakers have like a 4 or 5 point lead, things are going to go the Lakers' way at that point. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for how the team really, really gets to that point where they've been losing and then says, nah, we're not losing in Denver this time with a 5, 6, 7 point lead late in the game. We're going to close the sucker out like we did tonight. And this is why we're going to do it, because it's going to be a team effort. It's going to be people hitting shots when they're supposed to. And when they're open, they were hitting open shots tonight, folks. We all saw it. Every time Denver was making a run, they had a shot that kind of stomped it. And that's all we're asking, guys. Don't go into these 4 or 5 minute droughts. If you don't go into a 5 minute drought, you're probably going to win the game if you're up 8, 10 points. You have LeBron James and AD. And if they're rested during the game, they're not playing 45 minutes, it's even a bigger chance that you're going to win the game. So that's what I'm going to be looking at on Monday. More information on that, more kind of dissection of that tomorrow night for the nightcap. And times on the nightcap will be discussed this evening and tomorrow morning. I'll let you guys know when that is for sure by tomorrow. Again, thanks for having me on again tonight on a last second thing here, guys. I will see you guys tomorrow, and have a good night, everyone. Thank you, and go Lakers.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 119-108. The series is now 3-1 in favor of Denver as we go to Denver for Monday night. I know one of the things that have been mentioned quite often, Sean, in the chat is, should Prince replace Rui, or should he get more minutes than Rui? I'm not willing to go that far. The reason why, I understand Alan makes a good point about Rui navigating through screens, but I would make a good point back to say that if Aaron Gordon is posting you up and dominating you on the other end like he was to Prince, that is a bad matchup. That if they continue to go to it, a guy that is not normally one of your best offensive weapons in Aaron Gordon will become one of your best offensive weapons, and that may not necessarily be a good thing. So I think Taurean Prince, if you keep him at 25 minutes, right around there, like we talk about throughout the season, I think that's probably best, because you know we all hate that three-guard lineup with Taurean as the power forward, and obviously Ham's not going away from it. Today he was able to get away with it. I just want to say, Prince, there was a reason why we all for the entire year, and we should not lose our memory on it, all for the entire year wanted him out of the starting lineup. I would probably at this point not want him back in.
Yeah, and Gerald, to be fair, I think the four-guard lineup is kind of getting a little overanalyzed. All due respect to a couple of people in the comments, and I'm seeing some scuttlebutt about it. They played less than 4 minutes tonight together, mm-hmm. and they were only a minus two. So, you know, take it easy, everybody. I'm not a big fan of it either, but they played very limited minutes. But I agree with you, Gerald. Prince is 6'6". Aaron Gordon's a legit 6'9". Aaron Gordon's just more muscular and bulky than Prince. And like you said, if he gets him in a phone booth in the post, that's a matchup Denver will take all day. I mean, Jokic will go to that matchup 10 times out of 10 on the floor. Yeah, if he sees it, they'll exploit it. Rui doesn't give up a lot to Aaron Gordon. He's strong too. Rui's got a stronger lower body than Taurean Prince. So that's one of the main reasons why Ham has put him on Gordon or Jokic. So as much as I think, you know, a lot of people want to see Taurean Prince play a little bit more, I'm with you. We've said it all year, you know, anywhere from, you know, 22 to 28 minutes as his max. That's a max for Taurean Prince. If he plays over 30, that usually means one of two things. One, somebody else is having an off night and you have to employ him more. And two, it usually means that we're getting beat up in the box because somebody's taking advantage of that matchup, exploiting Prince either along the baseline or in the post.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Lakers win 119-108, powered behind 30 points from LeBron James. 25-23 is the final numbers. Looks like it got corrected on the scoreboard for Anthony Davis. D'Angelo and Austin had 21 each. Definitely looking forward to seeing what the Lakers can do in Game 5. Will they make the Denver Nuggets nervous with a victory in Game 5? Wait and see, my friend. But yes, again, a double-digit lead for the Los Angeles Lakers this time around. I feel a little bit better now if the Lakers can maintain and get a lead again in Game 5, that they will be able to go ahead and keep that lead. But still, Magic Man, if you get that 20-point lead again like you did in Game 2, absolutely, you've got to go ahead and do what you can to step on the throat of Denver at that point in time. Because, you know, as Joe said, it's the Joe rule. If some team is within 20, it's anyone's ball game.
Yeah, it's true. That being said, Gerald, small adjustments here or there, and they don't have to be monumental, help facilitate Denver not being able to take advantage of our mistakes. Again, their starting five is better than our starting five. 100%. That is true. Their bench is not better than our bench. It's pretty even, I would say, Gerald. I'd say it's fairly even. That being said, the big difference last year in this series was Denver's bench accentuated the starters. They extended leads or they were able to close deficits for them. They don't have that benefit this year. Their bench is weaker, and for the third game in a row, I will say, I could see the Podfather. We had a very excitable discussion about that in the offseason. And I said, I thought Denver's bench would be good. And Gerald said, no, Sean, Denver's bench will be crap. And Podfather was right. I was wrong. I concede. Once again, that being said, we're here now, Gerald, 3-1. And I agree with the Podfather. The Lakers need to stop the enforced errors, make your wide open shots, keep them off the boards, and try as you might to limit the opportunities that Murray has. Because, Gerald, we now know that something's going on there. I'm not ready to go as far as Joe is because we just don't know. We don't know what's going on with Jamal Murray, but he's not playing the way he normally plays, Gerald. And we do know that he's dealt with a myriad of injuries this year. He's had ankle issues. He's had problems with his hammy. We do know he's got a serious knee injury history, Gerald. So he's got a lot of lower body injuries that he's been dealing with over the years. And specifically this year, if I was the Lakers, I would really, really try and test out his endurance and stamina early on in Game 5. If you can get splits, split screens, or curls that get advantageous matchups. Like if you can get LeBron on Murray or AD on Murray in post action and try and see if you can either get him in foul trouble or really see how injured or hurt he is, I think that would be advantageous. Attack Murray at will in game five, because, you know, if you can get those 1-5 pick and rolls again, where if Joker has to guard D'Lo on the offensive end, I'm all for it. And if Murray has to guard AD in the post or on the perimeter, I'm all for that too, because either one of those two guys would end up either in foul trouble or on an island that they can't contain themselves.
Thank you again to Xbox and also as well Daniel Berry Sports Highlights for the super chat. You can always give us a super chat right here at the Lakers Fast Break, and it is truly appreciated. Once again, the Lakers do win 119 to 108. They're going back to Denver down 3-1 in the series. But I did want to mention, I know that people were concerned about AD and his wrist because he kept shaking it off, Sean, but I'm seeing him in the post game. He's holding the mic with that left hand. So I don't know if you would want to do that to yourself as far as being, you know, put yourself through that. But again, he seems to be fine. In the post game interview that he had with Mike Trudell, he said he was fine. So it looks like he will be ready to go as best he can on Monday. Whether or not Jamal Murray is hurt, what level he's hurt, obviously we're going to go ahead and find out in tomorrow or Monday. I'm still expecting Jamal Murray to be there and to hit those shots that piss off the Lakers come Monday. The thing is, if he goes again, like we saw him this time in Denver, 18 of 48, like he was in Denver, you know what? That's hard to overcome. The Nuggets need to get support from MPJ if he's shooting like that. If they don't, then the Lakers do stand a chance of beating them.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I agree. You know, you can't. As an example, Gerald, last year, if Murray was struggling in a game, in a series here or there, you had Bruce Brown, you had Christian Brown, you had Michael Porter Jr. to kind of lift you up. Now they don't have a Bruce Brown to cushion the aggregate that you're missing, especially if
their bench will not score just 5 points this time around. They scored points tonight. Christian Brown was awful. I mean, you were expecting after his great finals performance to take a step up, and he hasn't this year for Denver. But I'm still expecting more from their bench than 5 points.
The Podfather's right. I expect Peyton Watson to hit at least one open, wide open look on Monday. Hopefully it's not more than two, because we don't need that putting up that fire. But yeah, I expect Denver's bench to come back with a little bit more bite. But regardless, Gerald, they are really in a pickle. And I mean that literally. They're in a pickle if Murray is struggling, because they just don't have the requisite arsenal ammunition in the backcourt to aggregate Murray's off nights. The Podfather alluded to this in the offseason. He was like, Denver's bench really helped them in the playoffs to either extend leads or to shore up deficits. Now, they don't have that luxury with the bench. They're really relying on 5 starters plus Braun plus Watson. And if you get a little bit out of anything out of DeAndre Jordan, then you know you're cooking with peanut oil. But Denver definitely needs more out of their backcourt, Gerald, because we've seen it. Like D'Lo had a really good game, Gerald, and normally when D'Lo has a good game, it normally steamrolls. Like he can really, really, really use it as a springboard to have multiple good games. And we saw it. He went from 0 and he had plus 20 tonight. So and it was almost as if he was looking to attack Murray himself.
And Murray was again 9 of 23, almost mirroring games 1 and 2 in his poor performance.
Yeah, he's shooting less than 45% from the field. That's usually not like him. So again, as much as we're talking about being down 3-1, I agree with Gerald. Denver needs more out of the backcourt, or this series will go back to LA for game 6.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Magic Man Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Joe Soro will be on tomorrow for a Lakers nightcap. He has promised 2 hours. Let's see if that happens. But he is promising a nightcap for you guys tomorrow. He has not told me the time yet, but once he tells me, I will go ahead and schedule it. Tony says, do the Lakers have a shot in game 5? I mean, they've had a shot in every game. They've led by double digits in every game, Magic Man. I think they do have a shot. The problem is you have to keep going. Whatever game plan you're drawing up for the first half, you have to continue it. The second half, you have to just maintain whatever lead that you're getting. So again, if the Lakers jump out to another double digit lead in game 5, Magic Man, it's kind of starting to make you think just a little bit. Again, we still need to see them win game 5 before we start really getting on that bandwagon. I want to make sure everybody just stays calm until we actually see the Lakers win game 5. Let's see that first before we start talking about that. I know I see in the chat that the Lakers, that everybody's thinking that the Lakers are clearly the better team because they've dominated so much of the game as far as each of the games. They've dominated the minutes and whatnot, but again, they're still down on the scoreboard 3-1. Let's see if they can get through game 5 for the victory on the road, Magic Man, before we start really thinking about doing what has never been done in 192 series when a team's been up 3-0. Let's see if they can be the first. And to be on the defending champions, that would be awesome. But let's get by game 5 first with a victory.
Let's get by game 5 with a victory as well, Jill. And again, not trying to be cliched here, but concentration, discipline, and resolve. Those are the three characteristics you're going to need in game 5, because you're going to need to be able to concentrate because, again, I want to reiterate this. It's through 4 games, Denver has not played a great game. They haven't played a great game yet. They've played a pretty good second half in 3 of the 4 games, but they haven't played a complete game yet. I believe the Lakers will see them play a complete game on Monday. You're going to need discipline because you're on the road. They've got the advantage of the whistles, the crowd, and the altitude. So you're going to have to withstand those three elements within the throes of discipline. And resolve, going to need that too. Because one thing we do know, Gerald, is that although he outcoached him tonight, Michael Malone is a championship head coach. He made a very, very sneaky counter in game 2. And he's going to be able to make counters in game 5 if he sees that him or the Lakers are trying to exploit an advantage. And that, to me, is where the game will be won and lost, Gerald, unless we get the hammer thrown at us. It's that resolve with Ham and LeBron as our IQ and our central nervous system, because there's going to be a point within this game where there's going to be a counter move made by Michael Malone, and Darvin Ham's going to have to make another counter to his counter. It sounds very simple, but it's a game of chess in a 48-minute game of basketball in the playoffs. It's a game of chess. And you have to match counters with counters, because if you don't, then all of a sudden you're not one move behind, Gerald. You're 4 moves behind.
It's so funny though that the big deal was made about Christian Wood and Jared Vanderbilt. You know, Shams Charania had the report he was coming back for game three. Dave McMenamin had the report that Vanderbilt was coming back for game three. Neither of them came back for game three. Christian Wood did come back for game four, was on the bench, but he didn't play a lick. So again, if it comes to the point where Christian Wood is asked to come out there, I think the Lakers will probably be in trouble if that's the case, but we'll see.
Yeah, Gerald, there's no way that, like, I know there's a little bit of exclaiming that, you know, let's see Christian Wood get a few minutes here or there. No. You have Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. All three of those guys are built like Mack trucks. Specifically, Gordon and MPJ have strong cores. There is no way that Christian Wood is going to be able to defend any one of those three guys. And I have my doubts, even if you put him on Peyton Watson for a few possessions, that Jokic or Murray or Bron wouldn't be able to exploit that matchup by getting Watson open looks, because Christian Wood sometimes runs like a chicken with his head cut off when he's lost.
Or he's a little bit slow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his foot speed is an issue there too. So there is no way I want to see Christian Wood on the floor unless somebody's in really bad foul trouble. And you that's what you have to go. You have to unload if that's the case. But if everything's even, Christian Wood should not see a minute on the floor.
But John has a good point. Hayes has looked terrible in this series. Absolutely terrible in this series. You're running out of options there, Magic Man, to give you consistent play behind, dare I say it, Taurean Prince. Gabe Vincent looked awful offensively. Okay, he did hit one shot, but yeah, he looked awful. Driving to the basket was an adventure for him tonight. So yeah, I mean, you don't, and Dinwiddie, same thing. Your options on the bench are few and far between for the Lakers right now.
Yeah, they are. They are. And if, you know, like, you're stuck between, gosh, it's not even a rock and a hard place between Hayes and Wood. I'm not even sure what. You either have, I'm not going to use the South Park reference, Gerald, but you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one or the other. It's a blank sandwich or a you know what. That's basically what it is with Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood at this point. And I'd rather take that sandwich that is Jackson Hayes. At least in Hayes's defense, he's more physical than Christian Wood. He's more physical. He has a body that can withstand the force of any one of those three guys. Doesn't look good. Agree with Sean wholeheartedly, 100%. Doesn't look good like 95% of the time, but at least he's a big body that can withstand the force.
This just troubles me, Magic Man, before we head on out, that the Lakers, the Nuggets, Cleveland, and Orlando have played game five, or going to play game five, faster than any other series. And you know, some of these, like for instance Boston and Miami, they were just playing game three today, and the Lakers already done with game four. So I don't think I'm actually loving the way that the NBA has scheduled this out, especially for an older team like the Lakers. Not really liking that as much.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is, Gerald, but you know what? A lot of Toronto Maple Leafs are saying that about their schedule too. And you know what? The Lakers are the center of the universe when it comes to the
NBA. It is about TV. I get it. It's about ratings. I understand why. I'm not exactly in love with it, but yeah, there you go. So
That's why. But yeah, I'm with you. I wish it would be a little bit more traditional as far as like evening it out, right? So exactly. So two series are already heading towards game four, is Phoenix and Minnesota tomorrow as well. And yeah, Boston has only played three games. The Knicks and Sixers have only played three games. So it seems like, yeah, the Lakers and Nuggets and the Magic and the Cavs are just far and away ahead of everybody else right now.
Ace, to answer your question, if Darvin Ham saved his job tonight, I will say that I was watching an interview earlier with Adrian Wojnarowski saying he's getting inside reports that Ham as the Lakers coach, and they've been swept 2 years in a row. Obviously, that would have been very, very close, very, very much on the hot seat. I'm not sure. I'm still 60-40. If they lose on Monday, I'm still 60-40 that they fire Ham. But again, knowing this organization the way I do, anything is possible because of the fact that, again, they sometimes make very head-scratching decisions. But Magic Man, did Darvin Ham save his job with the victory tonight?
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. I think that's to be continued.
Okay. All right. That's to be continued indeed. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. We will come right back at you tomorrow with a nightcap. Joe Soro is promising a 2-hour nightcap. Will he deliver? We will find out. Yeah, he does type very fast, Alan. I'm like trying to mute him while he types because you can hear every sound of it. But yes, he does type very fast on that keyboard indeed. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. Sean, any last words of wisdom before Joe suckers you into joining him on the nightcap tomorrow night?
You know what, Gerald? It's do or die again on Monday. It's do or die. Hopefully they come out with the exact same attitude. A bad tude, because you're going to need it, because you're going to get Denver's best punch Monday night. Yeah. And you know what? You make it 3-2. All of a sudden, Gerald, the creepiness of doubt just starts walking along and they start hearing that whistling in the graveyard.
That they do. But again, we got to get to that point first. So I'm not jumping ahead of the gun yet. Again, it is the Lakers fast break. The game time is 7 p.m. Alice, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Monday. It is the Lakers and the Nuggets game 5. So we did not get swept 2 years in a row by the Denver Nuggets. So we will see again, game 5, Monday night, 7 p.m. Magic Man will hopefully will be here. I'll be here. Maybe Laker Nick on for playback.tv. So that's Lakers fast break. Big shout out to him. Henry Hill was supposed to be here because he doesn't like listening to himself the next day. He was supposed to be here. Henry, where are you? You said you were going to be here. Courtside Lakers. What's up with that? But again, I'll give him a little bit of teasing next time I see him. But it is, of course, the Lakers fast break. Please join us tomorrow for Joe Soro, his nightcap coming at you. Truly appreciate it. BD on Twitch, giving you big props. Appreciate so much you being one of our subscribers, hopefully growing on Twitch as well. Cannot thank you enough. And for the 1,550, almost 60 plus on YouTube, we cannot thank you enough. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, please do so. If you've not yet followed us on social media or Facebook, please do so. That way, you can continue to get the latest notifications on when we go live, whether it's a Lakers fast break, a snack pack, a nightcap with Joe Soro, NBA observations, and more. We might even bring back Lakers History 101 during the summer. You never know. I hear rumors that Lakers Fast Break University might come back in a session. So we will make sure we got plenty of coverage for you each and every time out. Big shout out to Rel from We Talk Mavs. In a much better situation right now than the Los Angeles Lakers, but we're both not dead yet. We're both got a lot going on, and the Dallas Mavericks look like they can really put a good hold on the series tomorrow with a victory over the Clippers. What time is the nightcap tomorrow? Alice, I'm not sure. Commander Joe has not given us the time yet. Because I bark at him. I say, can you give me a time on text? And he just barks at me. So He will let me know tomorrow and I will schedule it ahead of time. So you will get the notification. If you're subscribed on YouTube, you will get the notification on when it happens, because it tells you in advance. It gives you a notification that it's going to go live. So as soon as he tells me, I will schedule it out there and you guys will be set for a nightcap with Joe Soro. 2 hours full of Joe. Can you handle it? We'll find out. We'll also find out on Monday if the Lakers can go ahead and get back in the series. But we'll be asking all those questions and we'll be trying to answer them for you, as always. If the Lakers win 119-108, they head back to Denver on Monday with a 3-1 deficit. But we will see. Can you dig it, sucka? Absolutely, right there for you. Oh, Warriors, good movie. Excellent movie. Yes, there you go. Absolutely.
And wasn't that also a Booker T?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Five times. There you go. Absolutely indeed. But once again, it is the Lakers fast break, but that's who we got it from first.
Yes. The Warriors. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's where you got it from, was from Booker T. But I think I got it from the Warriors, because that's what the leader said just before he got shot. I think if memory serves me correct. Yeah. But once again, MV213 says Clippers are dead. Lakers are dead. Sixers are dead. Bucks are dead. Don't give up hope on the Lakers just yet, MV213. Suns are dead. Well, yeah, they're kind of bad. But Sean, any last thoughts, my friend?
Not on our series, Gerald, but I will say this. I'm very intrigued by the best coaching matchup in the playoffs thus far is between JB Bickerstaff and Jamal Mosley. They keep throwing haymakers at one another. That series is a best of three now. Two very exciting young teams. It's been a pleasure to watch those two go at each other. Gerald, who do you favor now in that series, now that's a best of three?
I would still say Cleveland. When it comes down to it, they have the guy that can still manufacture points a little easier in Mitchell. Although the defense on Mitchell has been outstanding at times by Orlando. That's not a surprise. Jalen Suggs is a great defender. But yeah, I still think when push comes to shove, I'm going to say Cleveland, but I am impressed. And next time I see Alfred Esmond, who says he wants to join us on Tuesday, I'm really going to give his team a shout out for, coming back. They could have just folded over, especially in today's game. They could have folded over after that first half, and they came back strong in that second half. And, you know, again, I know I harp on it, but it's so depressing to see all these Lakers that we could have retained, like Mo Wagner providing key minutes for them off the bench in Orlando. Just imagine what he could have done for us as a first-round draft pick for us. And then Ivica Zubac, you see what he's doing for the Clippers, even though they're still getting beat. And then, of course, Triple J. Yeah, he didn't have, the Heat sucked today, but still, he's played well in the playoffs. That's a rookie there for you. Gosh, just, again, it just hurts to see all these. KCP, of course. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts, Magic Man. It hurts. Again, Rob Pelinka is just not a good GM. But yeah, that's just me saying. There we go.
It's not just you saying either.
Well, some people do defend him. Like I had the pregame. Watch the pregame. You'll see the chat there. There's a lot of people that support. Yeah, the Lakers the worst at treating their drafted players. I would say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Just because you draft him, just because you retain it, just because you think they're going to be doing something for you, you've got to retain them. You got to grow. I know that Christie is, Joe calls him not an NBA player. I still think he can play in this league. I think he will become a player as far as a rotation player in this league. But the status quo and the modus operandi means that he'll probably do it somewhere else before he's able to. So. Yeah, Ace Nubian, that's who I'm thinking. I think it's going to be Christie. But I wouldn't say excel, but I think he can become a rotation player, like you're seeing with Mo Wagner. Yeah, right now. So we'll see. Once again, it is the Lakers fast. Wasn't Pelinka supposed to piss off LeBron? Ugh. Him being there probably pisses off LeBron. It pisses off me, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do win 119-108. They're down 3-1. Can they pull off the impossible? Can they be the first team in over 190 series? I think it's 192 for them to win from a 3-0 deficit in the NBA's playoffs. We'll find out. But again, it starts off tomorrow with Joe Soro and Nightcap with Joe Soro. But we'll make sure we go ahead and get that for you. We'll schedule out as soon as the commander himself, King Joe Soro, says. He will send out the decree, and I will go ahead and I will post it on there for you to make sure everybody's taken care of for a Nightcap with Joe Soro. He promises 2 hours, so he better deliver. He'll be delivering for you tomorrow, right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Go Lakers. Peace out.